Tonight, our thoughts and observations will come from the passage that was read earlier in Acts 6. You might want to turn your Bible there and have it for reference as we talk this evening. It may be difficult for some of you to believe what I'm about to say. A few minutes ago, we saw our elders and deacons stand before us. And if the elders and deacons who are away because of illness and death and prior commitments had been here, we would have had 47 men standing before us. More than half the congregations of the church throughout the world do not have that many members. And probably 75 or 80% of the congregations throughout the world do not have that many men. 47 men, 37 deacons, 10 elders. We ought to be so thankful to God that we have such leadership in our elders and so many men who are willing to serve as deacons. And of course, there are many other men and tremendous number of women in the congregation who serve in other ways. It may very well be that we take too many things for granted, that we don't stop and count our blessings as we ought. And I want to just say in a personal way how much I appreciate what each of these men means to the work of the church here, and what the friendship of each one of them means to me personally. It is appropriate, I think, for us to look to God's Word and observe some things that are said, particularly about the work of deacons. As we look at this passage in Acts 6, you won't find the word deacon there, but it is generally accepted that the seven men who were selected here were to serve in the capacity that we think of as deacons. I'm sure that all of us are somewhat familiar with the qualifications for elders and then the qualifications for deacons that are given in passages like 1 Timothy 3. But the emphasis that is placed upon the work of the church here in Acts 6 is not so much the qualifications, though two or three things are mentioned particularly, as upon the work, upon the growth of the church, and particularly what they needed to do as they looked forward and as they went ahead in the work of the Lord at that time. It seems to me that what has happened in the last few weeks has happened in a way that fits into the setting of the passage here. These seven men were selected, or the members, the disciples, were told to look out among them. And then the elders, or the apostles, who no doubt served in the capacity as elders in the first church there at Jerusalem, appointed them and presented them to the work, and to the church for the work that they were to do. And that's what we have seen in the last few days, and what we have seen particularly tonight, as these 11 men, or 12 men, were presented to be a part with the other 25 deacons, making 37. And I believe also that it fits the situation herein that there was a specific need there in the church at Jerusalem. Men were selected to fit that need, and we have seen that happen in the work here. This is something that our elders have emphasized, and I think rightly so. That men are being selected to serve as deacons in specific areas of work where there is a specific need. Now, I would anticipate that this will be an ongoing process. That as there are other needs that arise and other men who will fit those needs and fit the qualifications, that this is something that we will see as an ongoing process. I believe it will be helpful to us tonight as we think about the future and going forward and each of these new deacons being involved in specific areas, for us to really look at some of the things that are said here in Acts 6. And I'm sure that as you are looking at it, you may see some other things that may be just as important or more important than the observations that I will make tonight. But I believe these are some of the important ones. In the first place, we need to realize that elders and deacons do not serve in exactly the same capacity. Because of the fact that many religious organizations, even some in our own area, are governed by a board of deacons, we have allowed ourselves in many instances to think that the deacons are just additional elders. Not so. And you'll see that in this passage if you look at it very carefully. The apostles didn't say we need additional people, and so we're going to select some additional men to serve with us as apostles or elders. They said we need some people to serve tables. And there is a clear-cut distinction made in verses 2 through 4, particularly in verse 2. The 12 called the multitude together and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. There is a clear-cut distinction there. That the work of the elders is mainly to be involved in teaching and promoting the word of God. And you and I are aware of other passages that talk about feeding the flock. And they said, we need some men who can serve tables, who can be involved in this daily distribution, as this particular work is referred to here in this passage. A deacon is not an elder. A deacon may become an elder someday, or he may not. Qualifications are different, and there are men who can be very successful in serving as deacons who would not meet the qualifications to serve as an elder or as elders in the Lord's church. It is true that when Paul addressed the church at Philippi, he addressed them along with their bishops, that's another word for elders, and their deacons. But he didn't address them as just one group leading the church. He addressed them as two specific areas of responsibility. And this is clearly taught. In fact, there are some qualifications for being elders that are not qualifications for being deacons, particularly not a novice. And the family qualifications may vary to some extent. So I think it is important for us to understand that as important as each deacon is, and I would say to each one of you who is a deacon that you are important, that a deacon is not an elder. The elders have the oversight over us even to watch for our souls. They are our bishops. And by the way, they are our pastors. I am not a pastor. The word pastor is used in the Bible to refer to an elder. The 10 men that serve us here as elders, they are our 10 pastors. I have a lot of interesting developments along that line sometimes throughout the week. When I get a telephone call, are you the pastor? How would you answer that? Sometimes Joe Harden will be in the office and I'll say no, but one of them is here, and hand the phone to Joe. Try to explain it to people. But deacons, as important as they are and as important as each one of them is in our work, particularly in our future work here, the deacons are not elders. The elders are the overseers to lead us. The deacons are more in the area of service. In the second place, we do need to understand, as indicated here, that deacons may become leaders in their assigned areas. And they may be even given authority by the elders in those assigned areas. In fact, it has been my experience down through the years that the work of the church has been held back When elders are not willing to assign specific responsibilities and the authority to carry out that responsibility and the means to carry out that responsibility to the specific deacons, there has to be trust in each deacon. Qualifications suggest that. And there has to be trust on the part of our elders in each of these assigned areas with our deacons. Notice here when they selected these seven men, verse 6 says that they laid their hands on them and appointed them. But back in verse 3 it said, we want to appoint these over this business. The business was the care of widows, particular widows in this particular case. And they said, we want to select these men. And the ones who were serving as elders and overseers there said that we can appoint over this business. And so I think it is important for all of us to understand that the elders have the right to delegate authority in other areas as well, but particularly here as far as the deacons are concerned. And each deacon who has a responsible work, the elders will look at that man and his work, what needs to be done in the future here. Some instances we may have two or three deacons working together in an area, and they will give them the guidelines, and they will give them the budget that's involved particularly, and give them the go-ahead to get the thing done. That's the only way that the work of the church can grow. And the deacons play a very, very vital part in this. Back in Exodus, I believe it's chapter 18, Jethro came to talk to Moses, and he said, Moses, what's going on? Moses said, well, I've got to judge among all the people. Oh, he said, you need to do something about this. You need to get men and put them in charge of tens and fifties and a hundred so that you can take care of the leadership. And I think that principle applies in the work of the church today. And I appreciate the elders here selecting men in these specific areas with the idea that we want to go forward. We want to do something in these areas. And the elders are going to be able to assign responsibilities and delegate the authority that's needed in each of those areas. And when they do, they will back that deacon in leadership within that area. And so though the deacons as a group or any deacon as an individual does not sit in the position as an elder, he may very well sit in a position of leadership and authority within that area, where he is assigned and given the authority and right to do the work by the elders who have the oversight over all of us. And I want to make another point here in passing that I think is related. Sometimes I hear it said that the elders are over the spiritual matters and the deacons are over the physical matters. That's not scriptural. Our elders are overseers over all matters. And some of the areas where our deacons are working may be in helping the elders in dealing with spiritual matters, helping them to carry out their responsibilities. Usually, deacons may be more involved in physical areas. But that is not a distinction that the Bible makes. The Bible does not make the distinction between spiritual and physical. It makes the distinction between overseers and servants. Also, we need to emphasize, and this passage does, this idea of being a servant. There is honor associated with being a servant in any way in the Lord's kingdom. And there is an element of honor with each of these men who's just been appointed as a deacon. But the work of deacon is not to be just a position of honor. And though honor is associated with it, that's not what it was intended to be, and that's not what is intended to be emphasized. It is a position of service. A position of service. That's what the word means, even. From whence we get the translation of deacon in our English Bible. Again, I emphasize that there is an element of honor, and I'm sure that each wife and each son or daughter tonight is thankful for and maybe a bit proud, and I'm using the word proud there in the right way, of each one of these men who has been selected. But let me say something particularly to those of you who are deacons. What is important is for you to look at this as an opportunity of service, an opportunity to be involved in a specific way. Sometimes there are deacons who are not doing anything. One time years ago, somebody in describing a congregation said, the preacher's doing the work of elders, the elders doing the work of the deacons, and the deacons aren't doing anything. That's not the way it ought to be. That's not the way God set it up. But there have been instances down through the years when I have seen men who were appointed as deacons who didn't do anything and were not very much involved in the church. In fact, I have seen instances where deacons would even forsake the assemblies of the church, and that ought not so to be. One of the things that every elder and every deacon and every preacher ought to do is to try to set an example. Of course, we ought to come and be involved because we want to, but certainly to set an example. And if I were a man who was serving as a deacon and I did not have anything to do or was not doing anything, I would sit down and take inventory. Somebody says, maybe you ought to quit. That's the second best thing. The first best thing is to get busy. And if he doesn't understand exactly what his work is, from time to time there may need to be some review. Those who've been serving as deacons for a while, who have any doubt concerning what their responsibilities are, need to go to the elders and sit down with the elders and talk with them with a willingness to work and a willingness to serve and seeking out where they can serve better. And if that doesn't happen, then perhaps there does come a time when one needs to resign. And one thing here that I'd like to point out in passing is that there may even come a time when a deacon might need to retire. Not resign, but retire, as sometimes an elder needs to. We've had elders who have served here in this congregation. Brother Bullner was here this morning. Brother Johnson is here tonight, who served faithfully for years as elders and came to a point because of health and other things, they could not continue and they retired. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. They retired in an honorable way. I remember back when I first moved here, some of our deacons, I remember Brother Warren Griffin particularly, was getting older, was unable to be at every service, was unable to function in the areas where he had been functioning. But some of the deacons at that time had the idea that if I get out of it and I'm not a deacon anymore, that that's less than honorable. No, that's not less than honorable. What's less than honorable is to not do what God wants us to do. Not serve, not be involved as we ought to serve. In a very personal way, I'd like to charge every deacon, and I appreciate each one of you personally, to reassess your work. Particularly those who have been involved for some time. Look at what you're doing and whether or not you're doing what the elders have charged you to do. Discuss this with the elders and get as involved as you can so that every part of our work will go on in the right way. Do you realize how easy it will be, really, if all 47 men function? Add the rest of us that are functioning in other ways. You realize how much it will help our elders be able to do what was wanted here in this passage, give more time to prayer and the study of God's Word. When all of our deacons function and function well in each of the assigned areas that they are given, I don't think we've begun to see what can happen. I believe we have just touched the hem of the garment. And there is no better way to do anything than God's way. And God's way is for our elders to oversee our work and each deacon to be involved in that area where he's assigned, and the elders give him what he needs and his authority in that area to move. And then all of us move at the same time in the same direction. As I said, I don't believe we have seen the hem of the garment of what can be done. In fact, if you'll notice here in this passage, the work of the deacons was very instrumental in the saving of souls. Look at your first verse. The number of the disciples was being multiplied. They were growing. And then look down later in the chapter at verse 7. Word of God increased, the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and even a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Why? Because the church was organized by God's plan and was working by God's plan. And that included these seven men fitting in and carrying out the responsibility that had been given to them. The church continued to grow, and we can too. It is also important for us to see, and particularly here I would address those who are deacons, to see the fact that what you are assigned does not limit you from being involved in other areas. I remember years ago hearing an older preacher say, elders and deacons ought to be Christians, or at least lean in that direction. Two of the seven men who were selected were Stephen and Philip. And they were assigned, along with the other five, as I understand it, this specific responsibility of the daily distribution to these widows. But when you get in chapter 7, and you find a sermon preached, and the first Christian martyr, who was it? One of these seven, Stephen. And when you get into chapter 8, and you find a preacher going down to Samaria and preaching Christ to them, and then joining to the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch and preaching Jesus to him, who was it? It was Philip, one of these seven. And it's even said here in this sixth chapter, in verse 8, that Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Of course, this was at the time that the signs and miracles were there, and Stephen evidently had this power, at least to do some kind of signs and wonders and miracles among the people. But the point I want you to see is that they didn't cease being Christians. They didn't cease being involved in other ways. And though each of you deacons has a specific responsibility that's been assigned to you, there may be other ways and will be other ways in which you can serve the Lord. Maybe as a Bible teacher. Maybe working one-on-one with somebody out in the community. Maybe being involved in our visitation program or other things in the work of the church. Though there are specific assignments made to each deacon, and rightly so, that does not limit your work in living the Christian life and putting God first and being involved in everything that you can. This is a lesson for another time, but I think all of us need to be careful that we do not allow ourselves to become involved in so many things that we do not carry out our first responsibilities first. And preachers of all people really need to understand that. But the point that's being made is that you 37 men as deacons continue to be a very vital part of the work of the church here in many ways. If you took you 37 men and your families, think about what it means to our work here as you are involved in all these different areas. So what we have seen particularly here tonight that I would emphasize is, number one, that there is a difference in being an elder and being a deacon. A deacon is not an elder. Number two, deacons can be leaders and can have authority assigned to them in areas where they are selected and where elders give them that authority to help carry on the work of the Lord. Number three, though there is honor in anything we do for the Lord, our greatest honor is to give it to Him. And that means service, and that's what the work of each deacon is about. And each one needs to look at it in that way. The work of deacons may involve other things, as Philip and Stephen were involved in other things. And the point that I want to really emphasize tonight that I think is so extremely important is that the work of these seven men that we believe to be parallel or involved with the work of being deacons in the Lord's church was a key factor in the growth of the early church. They multiplied. They increased. They were even able to bring some of the priests to conversion. It's in a setting where the deacons were becoming more involved in the work in the right way. And I say to you here tonight, and I really believe this, that the success of our 37 deacons in their areas of work may be as vital a factor as anything that we can mention to the growth of this congregation and the success of the Lord's work in the future. May God help us to appreciate our men who serve us as elders, and may God help us to appreciate our men who serve us as deacons. And let's not leave any of us out tonight, because all of us as Christians are involved in this work, folks. And if you'll look a little bit more closely in this setting, you'll find some factors that are said maybe in passing but apply to all of us. There was daily administration. Daily distribution is probably a better word to use to those who had needs. There was built into that idea compassion. When there were those who began to complain and had needs and they were not being met, the leadership had compassion and the church had compassion and these seven men had compassion. They wanted to help those who were hurting. Number three, there was prayer. The elders said so that we can give ourselves to prayer, and our elders need to do that, but not just our elders, all of us need to. And number four, there was the ministry of the word. And the elders particularly are enjoined here and involved in that part of it. That's why they were selecting these seven men, so that they could do more in prayer and ministry of the word. And I say to you today, that when we organize the Lord's church, and I believe we have, the way that He has said, and we are led by our elders and served by our deacons and all of us involved with daily service, compassion, prayer, and ministry of the word, that even the devil himself cannot hold us back from growing in the Lord's kingdom. May God help each of us tonight to be more committed, and in a very personal way to commit ourselves to the Lord. And wherever the work is, whether it's in a specific area of a deacon or it's in the specific area of one of the rest of us, let's emphasize daily service, compassion, prayer, and the ministry of the word. And all of us working together with Jesus Christ as the head of it all, and with God blessing us as He will. Again, I say I don't believe we've begun to realize what we are capable of doing with the Lord's help. And maybe we need to sum it up with a statement of the Apostle Paul when he said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Each elder needs to have that attitude. Each deacon needs to have that attitude. Every one of us must have that attitude. "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Is He strengthening you tonight? Are you in Him? Are you serving Him? If you're not a New Testament Christian, if you've not been baptized for the remission of sins, or if you've gone astray and need to come asking for forgiveness in the prayers of the church, the Lord's invitation is to you as together we stand and sing.